is this for real? Can this actually be happening? Pop Culture Network Radio? We're trying another one of these? What's going on here? Have I traveled back in time? No, you haven't, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to try this again. Here's the thing. Obviously, there's been a lot of changes in Pop Culture Network over the last few years. This is something we used to do regularly, and it has dropped off with other stuff going on. And granted, at the time, there were a lot of podcasts, and we do have podcasts still on Pop Culture Network, but there was a need to bring something in that was a little different from some of the other stuff. We have a podcast getting ready to launch. I won't give everything away, but I will say if you're a Masters of the Universe fan, you're probably going to want to check that one out, especially with some of the people involved in that. And we do have the Comaholics. Apocalypse and I still do that occasionally. We talk about a lot of comic stuff, so you can check out Comaholics.com, part of the Pop Culture Network. Check out that podcast. And I do participate in the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. That is at clicknation.com, but I try to cross-post it here on popculturenetwork.com. You can check out that one, too. That is done through Google Hangouts, so there is a video element. You can watch us all sitting around staring at our computer while we talk. It's also released as a podcast. You can just do a search for Comic Book Chronicles, or you can check out Click Nation. It's kliqnation.com. And, you know, so there are some things that we have going as part of the Pop Culture Network, but I don't know. We needed more of like a catch-all show. Pop Culture Network Radio, we have done podcasts that were professional wrestling shows. We have done podcasts that were toy shows. We have done podcasts that were MMA. We had an MMA podcast for a while. And, you know, all that stuff is great. And I don't want to take away from any of that stuff and the people that, you know, worked on those. By no means am I, you know, putting down any of that previous work or anything like that. But I just, there's a lot more interest besides 80s action figures and comic books and stuff that we can talk about. So one of the driving forces on this show, if you want this podcast to keep going, if you want it to cover more topics, I mean, we can still talk toys and comics. I just don't want to do it a whole lot since we also have, you know, outlets for some of that stuff. But if there's something specific you want to talk about, of course, let me know. And that's going to be key, is hearing from you guys to know what it is exactly you want to talk about. So with that in mind, you can always just send me an email, dirt@popculturenetwork.com, D-I-R-T, @popculturenetwork.com. Or you can tweet me @PCN_dirt. That's the way to find me on Twitter. Or you can call the Pop Culture Network's 24-hour voicemail line. It's area code 217-953-4025. Again, 217-953-4025. If you're on Skype, you can just look for a username, Dirtmound, and just leave a, you know, call and leave a message there through Skype. If you want to do it that way, you can. But some of the things that I wanted to talk about, beyond toys and comics, technology. I have a lot of interest in tech and gadgets. I want to talk about Android Wear a little bit because I've got an Android Wear watch. I want to talk about the new Fire tablet from Amazon, the $50 guy. I've got one of those in my hands. I want to talk about it a little bit. But, you know, comics, talk about the Superman Truth storyline. It's been a pretty dismal disappointment as far as the storylines go. Toys. Mecha Workshop has actually sent us a Bellerophon. I'm not sure. Man. One of these things, whenever somebody comes up with a name for a toy, you know, you can read it like 9 million times, but you're never actually sure how you pronounce it. Bellerophon. But anyway, they sent us one of these toys. We'll be doing a video review of it, but I wanted to talk about some of the first impressions with that. Also, I want to talk about Halloween Comic Fest coming up at the end of the month. Some cool stuff there. So, I mean, it's just like a hodgepodge. You know, there's a bunch of random stuff coming. And also, you guys, a lot of times, you've always supplied us with questions. Just things you were wondering. Sometimes it's our opinion. You know, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? Sometimes you want to know some obscure fact to see if maybe we can track it down. You want to know what's happening, you know, will Brock Lesnar beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania? Yes, he did that. Thanks for asking. You know, just random stuff that's just catch-all pop culture. Is it wrestling? Is it toys? Is it video games? Is it comic books? Is it, you know, just whatever? So, with that in mind, your feedback is going to be important on whether or not this show keeps going. So if you want to hear more, make sure, email me dirt@popculturenetwork.com. Send me a tweet at @PCN_dirt on Twitter. Call our voicemail line, area code 217-953-4025. You can find me on Facebook. My username is actually VG Losers from our old Video Game Losers show. You know, we've been doing stuff. Video Game Losers, the original website that started, you know, kicked off all this stuff, actually started in like 2001. I believe it was. Tim Dwyer and I originally founded that website before he moved on to bigger and better things, working in the home mortgage market and not having time to do all this goofy stuff. But hey, Tim, if you're out there, miss ya. All right. And then, you know, eventually it grew into what became Pop Culture Network and That New Toy Smell and the Video Game Losers and I Need Comics and LockerRoomHQ.com and, you know, all of that stuff. And so there's a lot of stuff that we can talk about. The one thing I don't want to do, and this is for a variety of reasons, is politics. I guess that's the one thing we're not going to get into is politics. If you like Donald Trump, great. If you hate Donald Trump, great. Whatever. Let's stay off of that stuff. So, I mean, I don't know where I want to start here. You know, real quickly, I guess let's talk a little bit about the Bellerophon, or Belliferon. Man, I hate these names. But Mecha Workshop, company out of Singapore, working on their new toy line. This is their inaugural toy line. Dan Figueroa, who Transformers fans should recognize that name, has worked a lot with Transformers over the years. And Valent Wang. I hope I pronounce it. I think it's Valent, V-A-L-E-N-T. They have been working on this toy line, comic book, motion comic, whatever, for a couple of years now. And I've really been looking forward to seeing this toy come out. There's a lot of neat stuff involved. It's a giant mech. I've got the box in my hand, and the box is huge. This is a box. I don't know if, like, Metroplex would necessarily fit in the box, but definitely one of the new Combiner Wars figures. If you took one of the new Transformers Combiner Wars and you needed a box to put them in, this box is about that size that you can fit it. And it's got some, you know, just beautiful glossy artwork on the front, just artwork of what the mech looks like. You've got this foil embossed silhouettes on the side of some of the other figures, and on the back, all the photography, all of the text, and it's in English, it's in, I guess it's Chinese, maybe it's Japanese, I'm not sure. I guess that is Japanese. I'm not up on my my Asian languages like I probably should be. But this is the EFJAT47FG Bellerophon Cam's Custom Deluxe Edition. And so you have this giant box. It's almost, if you took a DVD box set, you know, like one of those deluxe Lord of the Rings, whatever, and you just made it bigger on one of those slipcase sets, that's the size of it. It's thick, it's tall, and it is a slipcase. And you actually slide the toy package out of the slipcase. And you can set the slipcase aside. And when you have the box sitting here, first thing you'll notice is that it is a window box. So you can see the toy in there in all its glory, wrapped in a lot of plastic. There'll be a video review coming of this, but I just want to talk about some of my first impressions. You can see the tiny little figure, a highly articulated private first class Cameron Knox. You've got the artwork on the back of what looks to be a hangar or repair depot for these giant robots, but then the box actually folds open, and there's a diorama of artwork. So, you have the window box with the toy, and then you have the secondary box. I'm not sure what's in it yet. I'm not opening it yet. I haven't done the video review yet. But when I get the video review done, we'll see it. But you open it up, and you get this mural piece, this fold-out piece of artwork in the middle, showing a bunch of the mechs on one side, showing the enemy army moving in on the other side, Don Figueroa artwork. And it's just a beautiful package. Now, I know this, when it sells, is going to be pretty expensive. I'm not sure. They didn't include a press release with this, but they've been giving us information, over the last couple of years. It's going to be at least $200, maybe $179.99 if you find a, cheap importer. But it may be higher, depending on whether or not you can get in early enough to get it before it gets jacked up or anything along those lines. But, be prepared to pay some money. This is an expensive thing that they sent. And again, talking about this for years, so I'm excited that it's finally here. But I don't want to rip it open quite yet because I'm not ready. I don't have my camera, ready to film. But that's something in the next, hopefully in the next week. It better be in the next week. If it's not up in the next week on the website, I'm going to be in trouble. And I'm also going to hate myself. But that's something to look forward to. And if you go online and do a search, Mecha Workshop, again, is the company name. You can see some promotional images that they've sent out in the past. Neat-looking toy. Really looking forward to that. Let's see. What else should we talk about today? Let's talk about Android Wear a little bit. Because I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but Best Buy actually has a auction site that is for, they say, friends and family. Basically, it is product that's been returned to the store, open package. Maybe it's something refurbished. Maybe it's something where somebody opened the package and they lost some cables or something, but it still got returned and it's missing stuff. And so they sell it on this auction site. They usually start out a couple bucks, pretty cheap. But I was on there and looking around, and I saw the Samsung Galaxy Gear 2 smartwatch. And it runs the Tizen operating system. And I didn't realize this at the time, but it's only supposed to pair with Galaxy phones. I used to have a Galaxy. I switched over. I've got an LG Optimus. It's one of those weird names. It's like the Optimus G Pro something. It's one of those giant, it's the size of the Samsung Note, huge screen. I love the phone. But I got this watch and I didn't realize that it was running a different, it wasn't running Android Wear and it was only supposed to be for Galaxy phones. So I tried my best. I spent a couple hours trying to get them to sync together, to work together, and it just would not work. And I was pretty upset. To be fair, I got the watch at a cut-rate deal. It was one of those things where I bid on it, and I thought there's no way that that bid will go through. This is like a $200, $250 watch. I don't know what it is. But I just thought, there's no way that it's actually going to win. And I won. And I got the watch. So I'm trying to get it working. Not working. So I go on XDA.com, the hacker, tinkerer, developer website, and someone has ported Android Wear to this watch. And I got to say, as far as jailbreaking a device and loading a new custom firmware on there, it is very easy. It may take a couple minutes just to read through the instructions. That's always a wise thing to do. But it is super easy to put custom firmware on here. And Android Wear is running on here, and it runs really, really well. This is running the Lollipop version, 5.01 or something like that, of Android. And 5.1.1? I don't know. But it works really, really well. It's got the voice commands, so I can talk to the watch, and it'll be interpreted by the phone, so, I can speakerphone or whatever, that type of stuff that it can do. But, Duolingo I use. I'm teaching myself Spanish right now. Not very well, so you're not going to get a sample right now, but it works. Email integration, your pop-ups for your text messages, Facebook messages, Google Plus alerts. All that stuff comes through great. There's a couple games that I threw on here, Reverse Eye and Solitaire. They all work great. AccuWeather, getting weather from. There's even a web browser. They took the Chromium project and they turned it into a fully functioning web browser on the watch face. Now, granted, this is like a, what is it, like a 2.1-inch screen or something like that. It is 320 by 320 pixels or something. It is not, obviously, the best thing in the world to use, but it works really well. And I'm kind of surprised at how well it works. It has speakers on it, which I guess no official Android Wear watches released as of yet have speakers on it, so sound output isn't wired to work. There are some apps you can put on there to play, like MP3s or whatever. You can play the music directly through, which is neat. But mostly it works as a remote for your phone. So instead of pulling the phone out of your pocket to see what the tweet is that you just got or what the Facebook message is, it comes up on here. But because it does the voice prompts, you can hit reply, you can speak your reply, and it'll type it out and send it back. You can also draw emojis on the screen if you really want to, if you're into those things. So Android Wear, for this watch is actually a year, maybe even 2 years old at this point. I don't know exactly. But for a device that is not the latest, greatest, cutting-edge thing, that is broken, in a sense, to make it run Android Wear, which it's not supposed to do, this works exceptionally well. I like Android Wear a lot. The watch works great. It does the flick of the wrist thing where the screen will pop on when you flick your wrist, you know, so you don't have to actually touch a button every time you want to see what time it is, kind of like what Pebble does. It is really a neat product. It's a neat technology, and that's something I'm really looking forward to playing more with in the future. Something else, another piece of tech sitting here. I got the new Android Fire tablet from Amazon, and this is with their new Fire OS 5, codenamed Bellini, which I don't know if that's from Paul Bellini, the guy who Kids in the Hall, if you remember the Paul Bellini contest, when you got to touch him if he won the contest. I don't know. I'm sure it means something for real, but that's the only reference I have for Bellini. But this is running on top of Lollipop, their new version of the OS, and this is actually a really nice tablet. Considering that it is $50, I assume that this $50 tablet would be horribly underpowered, a terrible screen. It's Amazon. It's not running full Google apps, so you cannot get the Play Store unless you find some workaround for it. I haven't really looked into that yet, because this actually works really well. The new operating system, for one thing, it gets rid of that carousel. I don't know if you've ever had a Fire tablet. I've had the original Fire. I had the Fire 7. I really hated the OS, the carousel. One of the first things I always did on the tablet was download a launcher. My original Fire, I eventually jailbroke it or rooted it, whichever term you want to use, and installed straight Android on it. It was great. The newer one that I have, they keep fixing the ability to break it, so you can't put custom ROMs on there unless you find a way to roll it back to an earlier version of the OS, and it's a big hassle, and there's a lot of bricking going on in the community, people trying to get it done, so it sucks. I put a launcher on it, you put like one mobile market on it so you can get some of those Google apps, but things don't work quite right, and it's always a pain. This works really well. First off, I put a SD card in. I had an 8 gig laying around just on my desk, so I popped it in there to give it some extra space. It only has 8 gig built in, which is small. That's one of the biggest problems with a lot of these budget tablets, is the amount of space that they have for installing apps. And it is a problem. I've had this 24 hours, and I've got like maybe 2 gigs of space left on the actual tablet itself. I probably need to uninstall and reinstall some things so it'll move automatically over to the SD card. I just haven't bothered with it yet. But because it is from Amazon, it's got, it's trapped into Amazon's ecosystem. So you're going to use their App Store. If you have Prime, And this is key. If you have Prime, it's great. If you have Prime, then you've got the Amazon Prime Video, which is basically their version of Netflix and Hulu wrapped together in one. You have their Silk browser, which they've done some massive upgrades in this version. You, of course, have books, music, the photos, the newsstand. So you've got their version of everything. And if you're a Prime member, almost all of that is free in your Prime membership. Is all that stuff is added on there. Plus, you've got free time, which you know you can set it for the kids to play with. You get unlimited photo backups for all the photos that back up through your Android or through your Amazon devices. So, for $50, if you have Prime, it is really a great deal. I mean, it's really hard to complain. Now, I know some of you are thinking, okay, but the screen isn't that nice. It's a low-res screen, which is true. It is, I believe, 1024 by 600, which is small, but Comixology is now owned by Amazon. Threw it up here, downloaded some books, read them fine. Not a single problem trying to read through the books. It's not such a low screen that it's going to be terrible. And I don't even do the guided view. I do full page. I read full page at a time, turn it sideways when I've got a two-page spread, and absolutely no problems reading on there because of the screen. It's Amazon Video. You can play everything on it. Again, no problems. I don't have any problems with stuttering. I don't have problems with buffering issues. Everything seems to just play. It just works, which is one of those things. People talk about the iPad and the simplicity as opposed to Android. It just works. Well, this just works. Gmail, even. I have, Gmail. I'm everything I do goes through Gmail. I've got like 9 email addresses, and they all go through Gmail. And so setting up Gmail on one of these devices was always a pain in the past because you don't have the Gmail app. You can't just automatically log in. But they have fixed their email client. So someone like me, I use, secondary authorization? I forget exactly what they call it, but you have an app on your cell phone that generates a six-digit password. So when I go to log in, it wants me to type in the code number. That way it keeps someone else from being able to break into my Google accounts. So my Google accounts are locked up. If you don't have my phone with my app on it, then you cannot log into my accounts from a new device. That's how it works. And it was always a pain on Amazon stuff trying to get the stuff to work. This one works fine. I tapped it. I put in my Gmail address. I put in my password. I hit next. It brought up the web browser. It opened the screen for me to type in the 6-digit code. It authorized. It synced up my mailboxes. No problem. I was actually surprised at how easy it was because of how much of a pain it has always been to do it on Fire tablets in the past. And this fixed that. The OS, going back to the OS for a second, I realized I started on this and then I got sidetracked talking about other stuff. The OS 5, Fire OS 5 that's on here, it is set up more like normal Android. The problem that you always had before is that like half of your screen at the top was filled with these giant icons of your most recently used programs or most recently read books. And then everything else was like in a drawer down towards the bottom that you had to flip through, whatever. This instead, the home screen, is a regular home screen. There's no widgets. It's all icons, tap to get to your apps. And, of course, the Amazon stuff is all at the top, and then anything you load loads at the bottom. But it is customizable. So if you want to drag something to the top, like Comixology is something that I use a lot, I actually can just grab the icon, move it to the top. It displaces the Amazon stuff and puts the icon I want there. So the stuff I'm going to use all the time, I can slide up to the top and let everything else push down out of the way. Now, if I want to swipe to the left, I get the Recent tab. And the Recent tab works like the carousel in the old version of the OS. I don't use it because I don't like it. But it's there if you are familiar with that. If you do like it, it's just a swipe away. You swipe the other way, you've got your books. You have your books that you have paid for that you can, you know, sync to your device. You also have recommendations from Kindle Unlimited. So again, if I don't know if that's with Prime or if that's a separate thing. I think that's if you buy a Kindle, an actual Kindle, which I do own a Kindle as well, an e-ink black and white Kindle. You can download the books for free through the Kindle Unlimited. Next swipe, you've got your video. All of the Prime videos, all of the videos if you want to buy or rent them through the Amazon service, the same way you would rent, say, a movie through your cable company, through the on-demand box, or your Prime stuff, which is just like your Netflix stuff, is all on that next tab. You swipe again, you've got games. If you, again, are a Prime member, then you have access now to Amazon Unlimited, which is their version of the App Store, but all the apps are basically paid for through your Prime membership. Games that are already free, they've added some sort of bonus to: extra lives, extra coins, extra, you know, whatever inside the game. I'll come back to games in a minute. Next is shop, where you can look for, you know, whatever on Amazon. If you've ordered anything, you can track your orders. You can buy accessories for whatever. This is the meat and potatoes of the Amazon ecosystem. Next one is apps. You have your apps that are, you know, loaded. Then you can scroll through and stuff recommended for you, stuff that's new. If you want to download Netflix or History Channel or Candy Crush or Minecraft or any of that stuff, it's on there. You can download it. Next is music. Now, I love Prime Music. This is one of the biggest things I've started using on here. I never thought it was going to be that big a deal, but it's actually great. I do have some music, I will say, that I have not fully paid for in the past. You can upload it to the cloud server, import it into your music library, and it'll use up some of the space that they give you as part of your free cloud storage with being a Prime member. But you also get the ability to go through their Prime music lists and add music for free. Now, occasionally the music does drop off of the Prime music, so you will add things and lose things, you know, every month, kind of like a Netflix type deal. But there is so much music on here. It is just incredible how much is there. And if you do legitimately buy music, which I, in the last few years, that is what I do, Amazon sells music as un-DRM'd MP3s. They were one of the first big ones to do that before iTunes or anybody else. You can go in, you pay the 99 cents or $1.29 or whatever they've decided to sell it at, and it gets added to your cloud account for free. It does not work against any of your space. So if you go in and you go, you know, I want everything from David Bowie, and you spend, you know, $100 buying every Bowie album, every one of those MP3s you can download to your device for offline listening. You can download to your computer to back them up, save them for whatever, put them on any device you want. Plus, they are stored in your cloud music library free of charge. They're just there. Even if you're no longer a Prime member, because you bought them through Amazon, they get stored in the cloud always. You always have access to them. And that's great. I mean, if we're talking, you know, you're going to pay a buck for a song, no big deal, whatever. You're going to download it, back it up. But having, just knowing that it's there, it's saved, it's on the server, is actually really nice. You have audiobooks. It's through Audible. They bought Audible. Personally, I hate audiobooks, but if you like it, they have a whole tab for it. And then finally, newsstand. If you want to download newspapers, if you want to download magazines, they have those available as well that you can buy, you can download, and of course, sync to your device. Now, I want to go back to games for a second, because one of the problems a lot of times when you go through cheap tablets is that they are terrible at games. I love technology. If I see a tablet that's cheap, I'll grab it a lot of times. If it's, you know, $50, $60, I also work in a store where we fix this stuff. Sometimes people bring stuff in and they say it's broken and, you know, you can't fix it, and so it gets junked out, and then you take it apart, you mess with it, maybe you can get it working again, you know, whatever. So I like to play around with tablets. People bring them in to get fixed. I always mess around with them, see what they're capable of. I thought for sure that this $50 tablet would be pretty much junk. You know, I just wanted to see what it was like, see if it was okay. You know, no big deal. But I am actually quite impressed. I have purchased other tablets or have used other tablets that go for anywhere up to $150 that are less capable than this tablet. And again, it's a low-res screen, so some people are going to freak out because that's important to them. But honestly, you don't really see it when you're using it. If I go into my games and I open Angry Birds with Friends, let's just use that as an example. It runs with no stuttering, no problems. It loads up. It may take 30 seconds for it to load, but it loads up and it runs fine. If I try to load that on whatever that cheap brand is that's at Kmart, the Trio tablet, I've used one of those in the past. If it loads without the whole tablet locking up, you go to pull back and it takes, like 5 seconds for the animation to catch up. You release and you can hear it flying through the air, but you don't actually see it. You just kind of blindly tap, hope it's, in the right area. It's a very frustrating experience. Here, no problem. Simpsons Tapped Out is another program that has a lot of problems on cheap tablets. It may take up to a minute for everything to load to get into the game, before the game starts up for you to tap on it to go into play. But once you're in the game, it runs flawlessly. And I've even put it in standby and then, woke it back up, went back into the game, reloads, no problem. Let's see, what else is Minecraft. Of course, Minecraft is a big thing on tablets. My kids are addicted to it. We all have it on all our devices here in the house. Everyone has to play Minecraft. From the Vita to the PlayStation TV to the PS4 to the laptops to the desktops to the kids' tablets, my tablets, the Windows tablets, Android's tablets, even the iPad, everything has Minecraft on it. It runs on here fine. No issues. I haven't found any problems. Sometimes you get a little bit of the draw distance loading the chunks in the background that happens in Minecraft. If you're familiar with that, you've had that issue happen. Sometimes you run into that, but otherwise it's smooth. It plays easily. It's responsive. The only time you have really any type of trouble, so to speak, is if you you play Minecraft and then you hit the home button and you don't actually exit out of the program, and then you load up Angry Birds and then you hit home and you don't actually exit out the program, and then you open up Simpsons and then things get stuck. And that's because you're not actually closing the apps. You're just putting them in the background, and technically they're still running in the background. They're still in the RAM in the background. You got to go into your application chooser and close stuff out in order to free up that RAM. Things won't close automatically, which is good on the one hand. You don't lose your work. You can open up a web browser tab and then open up another program and then go back to it. And it doesn't screw everything up, which is nice, but it can eat a lot of those resources. So that's really the only danger that I've seen. It's a single speaker. The camera is not great. There's a front camera and a rear camera. Neither one is really fantastic. They do the job. If you want to Skype someone real quick, you want to do something along those lines. The only problem is you can't do Hangouts because, again, this is not Google certified. You can't get the app on here without figuring some sort of backdoor way. And you can sideload APKs. Don't get me wrong. Dropbox is not in the Android or in the App Store through Amazon, but you can go to dropbox.com/Android, download the APK directly, and load it on the tablet, and it runs fine. So if there's something, Google usually, though, requires, Google services, Google framework, whatever, all these different things that have to be loaded on there as well, which is one problem in getting that stuff working. So no Hangouts on there, but everything else, it really works smooth. I am impressed with how well it works for the fact that it's a $50 tablet. Now, if you buy an iPad mini and put it next to the $50 Fire tablet, are you going to notice some differences? Yes, of course. You obviously are. But you're also paying $300, $400 versus $50. For $50, this thing is super capable, and it backs everything up to the cloud. The first thing when I logged in, besides doing the day one software updates, is it pulled up my other Fire tablet, the 7-inch, and it asked if I wanted to sync this with that one and install basically all the apps that were on that one. It put on here any game saves that were in the cloud. It put on here. It signed into my account. All of that kind of stuff. So this is a super capable, if it breaks and it gets destroyed and you got to buy another one, most of that stuff that you have is backed up in the cloud, backed up in the Amazon Game Center. It's just part of your account. It'll get loaded on here, and everything's going to start working again, which is really nice. Now, I know a lot of this stuff you can do if you've got like a Nexus tablet and you can get Titanium backup. You can do a lot of that stuff, but this does it automatically for $50. Now, again, it's not a super high-res screen, but honestly, I'm not at the point where that even makes a difference to me. I've got an iPad Mini. It's the first generation iPad Mini. It's not the Retina display, and I don't care. Like, I never see it. You know, people go, well, if you hold it up real close, you can actually see the pixels. Okay, great. Why do you have your face 1 inch from the screen trying to look at pixels? You know what I mean? So for what it is, for anyone that's ever gone to, like, Big Lots and bought a tablet, or you happen to be in Sears and there was something on sale, and it was, like, $90, so you went ahead and bought it, this is actually a very capable tablet. It'll handle your Gmail. It'll do your Google Calendar. It'll sync your Google Contacts. It just won't do Hangouts. You can't put Chrome on here, so you're not going to get all your passwords and bookmarks that you have through there. But otherwise, it works really well. I've only had it for a day, but I've played with it pretty much nonstop, even when I was on the toilet, supposed to be doing some other things at work, whatever. If I had 5 minutes to kill, I grabbed the tablet and started playing with it, and I'm so impressed with what it is at $50. I've heard there's some problems with the new HD line, the HD 10, the HD 8. People don't like them, but compared, I bought a Dell Venue 8 running Android. That was significantly more than the $50 for this thing, and this works better than that. Now, granted, you don't have the Google Play Store, so some of the apps you may have to rebuy, but it works really well. All right, last thing we're going to talk about before we wrap up is Halloween Comic Fest is coming to comic book shops. And one of the things, if you're not familiar, I guess first of all, Halloween Comic Fest, if you've ever been to a free comic book day, it's a lot like that. They have comics for trick-or-treating, basically. A lot of them are mini comics. DC and Marvel a lot of times reprint full-size comics. Rarely is anything new material. It's pretty much, old stuff. Free comic book days where you get, they did the Convergence and the Secret Wars and those types of books that were giveaways. For Halloween Comic Fest, it's mostly reprint type material. A lot of them are mini comics, smaller sized, but one of the neat things about Halloween Comic Fest is that they have bagged a bunch of the comics into these little poly bags so that you can buy them and give them away instead of candy or to augment the candy that you give away. Now, for the last 2 years, we've decided not to do candy. We give away comics, and we find that a lot of the kids are much more receptive to getting the free comics than they are to getting the candy. I mean, they're getting candy everywhere else anyway. You know how it goes. You got something different with comics and these poly bags. It's 25 mini comics for $4.99. Last year, they came in bags of 20. This year, they upped them to 25 per bag. And again, these are just, you buy the bag for $5, you got 25 books to give away. I bought 4 different packs that we're actually going to give away here at the house. So if you've got kids in the neighborhood, send them by, get free comics. But of course, they will also have these at any of the participating Halloween Comic Fest stores. If you've got a store in your area that's going to be doing the promotion, they have big bundles that the stores can buy at a cheaper price to give away, but for you as a consumer, you can buy the poly bag to bring them home and give out, because my daughter actually hates trick-or-treating. She hates Halloween. She hates being scared. She doesn't want to go out and do anything, so she stays at home, and she loves handing out the stuff as long as people don't have super scary costumes, whereas my son, he wants free candy. But I do have some of the packs here that we bought to give away. The first one is a book called The Garlics, and I believe this is new. This is from Action Lab, and this is What I believe is the first chapter of what's going to become an actual ongoing comic series. Just a little kid-friendly unicorns and horses with wings, magical, funny little guys. It's more of a female-oriented book, which actually is good because I have a daughter, and a lot of times she feels left out by some of this stuff. But for $5, 25 copies to hand out to the kids, so that'll be fun. Something to look forward to. There's also a new upcoming series. It's called Yo-Kai Watch. Those of you who are into manga and anime, you may already be familiar with. This has been released in Japan, overseas. This is the first time, though, in the U.S. Before it comes out in actual bookshops and comic book stores, you're getting the sneak peek issue here as part of Halloween Comic Fest. It's a boy who has this magical watch that lets him see monsters that the normal average person cannot see. Kind of a Pokemon thing, I guess, but it is manga style. So you do read it technically backwards from American books. It's printed in that original format. It opens on the left-hand side instead of the right, and you read it that way. So that's also something my son is really looking forward to reading that. He's at school now. He doesn't get to read it, but of course the kids always get, you know, the free comic here in the house weeks before they actually go on sale. We also bought the pack of Grimm's Island. This is the book from Dark Horse Comics. This is Franco and Balthazar, the guys who do Aw Yeah comics. They do Itty Bitty Hellboy and that kind of stuff. Teen Titans. No, what was that? No, it wasn't Teen Titans. It was, oh my God, Tiny Titans. That's what it was. Tiny Titans was the name of that book. But anyway, if you've not seen this, you definitely need to go pick up the regular issues as well. It is a fun, all-ages book, geared mostly towards children, but anything from the Aw Yeah Comics guys is always fantastic. So I'm glad we got those. And then finally, Skylanders. There's a Skylanders. Now, the cover, it says it's a Halloween book. It says Happy Halloween is the issue number, and the image shows a giant pinata raining candy down on the Skylanders. So I think it might be original, but I haven't ripped open the poly bag yet. The kids get to do that when they come home, so they're looking forward to being able to rip these open, take a look at them. And generally what we do is we sort through them. So kids come through. We don't get a lot of trick-or-treaters in our neighborhood. Just not a lot of kids really around this area. And so we give them like the whole set of comics when we have the free comics. And then as things wind down, if we've only got, you know, a couple sets left and we see a group coming, then we might separate them out. Like, here, you get one, or you get two, whatever. But for the most part, everybody gets the set of the comics that come through. So again, $5 a pop for the 25 comics. It's more expensive than buying a cheap bag of, you know, Mary Jane's or, sweet tarts or something like that to give away to kids, but it's cooler. You're giving out comic books. I mean, who doesn't love that? So, look forward to that Halloween Comic Fest. Check with your local comic book shop. I said I was going to talk about Superman, the Truth storyline, how terrible it is, but I'm not going to do that today. We're already almost 40-some minutes into the show, so I'll save that for another time. If you want to hear me rant about the Truth storyline, let me know. But again, thanks for listening, guys. Scattershot, talked a little bit of everything. If there's something that you want to talk about, if you've got a comment, if you've got a question, if there's a topic that you want to heard, you know, just me ramble on or rant about, feel free, send me an email, dirt@popculturenetwork.com. Twitter is @PCN_dirt. Or call our 24-hour voicemail line. It's area code 217-953-4025. You can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and leave a message, and I'll listen to it. May even play it on here, as long as you don't swear or ramble on for 10 minutes. And yeah, just let me know what it is you want to talk about. If I get no feedback, then, you know, of course, this will be the only episode, and I'll sit in my room in shame and stare at the wall and cry silently to myself. But if I hear feedback from you guys, and there's stuff that you want to talk about, stuff you want to hear about, then let me know, and we'll cover it here on Pop Culture Network Radio, part of PopCultureNetwork.com.